I'd like to mention the next 2 weeks will be devoted to Inyone Pesach, that is to say, next week and the week afterwards. And also to mention that we'll have Haggadahs with me for anyone who's interested in obtaining them. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. In the meanwhile, this week we have before us Chumash VaYikra, Toras Kohanim, and I dare say that the discussion this evening, if I may be forgiven the expression, will be a meaty one. For Chumash VaYikra is involved and dedicated to matters of korbanos. It is known by Chazal as Toras Kohanim. And I would like to devote our attention this evening to a major discussion that takes place, I would say, takes place within the Rishonim. More correctly, it begins with the Rishonim. It continues with Acharonim. I wonder if it's even been concluded. And that is with regards to an understanding of the concept of korbanos in the most general sense. If we would ask, what are korbanos all about? And so many of them, what are they meant to do? Now, probably the most famous of the Rishonim to discuss the matter of korbanos is the Rambam. And I would like to begin with him, specifically because, generally speaking, the Rambam's position, as is quoted selectively, which, of course, is not correct. For the full position of the Rambam comes from the full words of the Rambam in all of his works. But of course, we begin with his words in the Mor Nevuchim, in the third chelek, which is where the Rambam devotes his attention to Tami HaMitzvahs. He goes through all of the mitzvahs and gives reasons for them. And I would like to read selectively, well, from the Rambam. This is in Chelek Gimel of Mor Nevuchim, Perek Lamed Beis. And Rambam says, the first thing you should know, says Rambam, a klal gadol in life. She'i efshar latzeit min ha'hefech el ha'hefech pit'om. It is not possible for someone's nature or habits or thoughts or patterns to change from one extreme to the other straight away. You try it, says Rambam, it won't work. It's human nature to leave aside everything that he has always known straight away. And therefore, v'kasher shalach Hashem es Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, when Hashem sent Moshe lititenu to make us mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, to make us the Jewish people. And of course, the primary characteristic of us as Hashem's people is v'oso ta'avodu, avodas Hashem, divine service. V'hai haminog hamaforsam ba'olam kulo. And at that time when we became the Jewish people, it was known throughout the world, and this was the way of the world. Shayu az regilimbo, that's what people were used to. V'ha'avoda ha'kolelas asher gadlu aleha, and the general concept of divine service that we had grown up with. La'hakriv minei ba'alei chayim b'heicholo sahei. It was the norm in the religions of the time to offer animal sacrifices in their temples. Therefore, lo gozra chochmoso v'tachbuloso sheyitzaveinu lahaniach mini havodos ahem kulam ulaozvam ulabatlam. So Hashem, it does not judge it, so to speak, to be appropriate or meaningful or realistic to tell us to cease that type of divine service. Ki az hayazeh masha lo yale belev lekabla, it would have been impossible for us to accept. Kifi teva ha'adam, it can't be, says Rambam. It is the equivalent of someone, a Navi, coming to us, or Judaism as we know it, and saying there are no mitzvahs. All you do is think. We're not used to that. We have mitzvahs. We couldn't relate to it. That's what it was like for the Jewish people to relate to Judaism without korbanos. And therefore, says Rambam, paraphrasing from this point onwards, korbanos were instituted or mandated in order to allow us to adapt or cross the threshold from wrong use of our religious allegiance towards Hashem, and korbanos were part of it. Kosher korbanos. That being said, says Rambam, we should note that the Torah restricts korbanos in two ways. Number one, it restricts the location of korbanos. Certainly in the time of the Mishkan, in the time of the Midbar, can only be brought to the Mishkan. That already moderates the concept of korbanos, not just anywhere, it has to be in a very specific place. And moreover, it can't be just anyone who does the avoda. It's a specific group of people, it's the descendants of Aharon. And all of this is in order to temper the tendency towards korbanos and give them a positive outlet without completely dismissing them. That's what korbanos are all about. Now, says Rambam, you say to me, it turns out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's giving us mitzvahs, is taking into account how would we relate to them, can we accept the notion of Torah without korbanos, and if we can't, then there is no choice, so to speak, but for Hashem to put korbanos into the Torah. That's quite a radical thing to say, says Rambam, but you find it. You find it in the Torah. I'll give you an example. When we left Mitzrayim, by Bishalach Paroes Ha'am, so which way did we go? Let us, in simple terms, consider what seems to be the desired route is a beeline straight to Eretz Yisrael. As we know, that's not the case. V'lo nacham Elokim derech Eretz Pelishtim. Hashem did not choose to take us the more direct route, Kikarofu, even though it was closer. Well, why not? If it's closer, it's the better route, why not take it? Pen yinachem ha'am, ki amar lokim, pen yinachem ha'am, ve'osa melchama, and they'll go back to v'chazu mitzrayma. Therefore, we see an example whereby Hashem knows us, and he knows that we won't be able to handle it. If he takes us in that direct route, it will work out badly. The answer is not, says the Rambam, to modify our tendencies. After all, Hashem could have changed our nature that we would not be afraid if we see war. But we would. And that had to play itself out until a new generation came who were not as afraid of war. And then we were able to go in. And therefore, says Rambam, you see from there the concept that I'm trying to communicate here. That because the notion of telling the Jewish people there's no more korbanos is like telling them you have to go straight to Eretz Yisrael. They will fragment. Now, that's actually quite a chiddush, one may observe, within the Rambam. The Rambam has drawn an equation between these two, except the difference between them is that the route that we took when we left Mitzrayim is not one of the 630 mitzvahs, and it's not 10 of the 630 mitzvahs, or more. That's a route of travel. And therefore Hashem took, as the Pasuk says, Hashem took our capacity into account. It's perhaps something of a jump to go from there to mitzvahs, and say the mitzvahs also have this quality to them, that it's in terms of what we can handle. Now, thus far, the Rambam has spoken in a very general sense. And if we could summarize, according to the Rambam, the idea of korbanos is that of adopting or incorporate something that existed that we couldn't do without into the program of the Torah. We should know that the Rambam discusses korbanos actually twice in the third parak, in the third chelik of the Mor Nevuchim. What we have just quoted from is Perek Lamed Beis, where he discusses korbanos in general, But he also discusses it later on in Perek Mem Vav of Chelek Gimel, important supplementary comments of the Rambam, with regards to certain details which are also along the lines that he had laid out in his general presentation. But in the details we will see, interestingly, whereas generally it was in order to somehow adapt korbanos as a concept into Torah, but many of the details of the korbanos are actually not to adapt, but to negate the services of the time. We'll give a couple of examples to see what that means. That sounds a little bit abstract. You'll note, says Rambam, that there are three types of animals that the Torah mandates for korbanos. There is min habakar, there is cattle, there is min ha'izim, goats, and min hatzon, there are sheep. That's it. If we may ask, what's behind the choice of these three specifically? And in the Moreh Nevuchim, you can ask anything. Says Rambam, for these three types of animals were well known as deities in the ancient world. These used to be objects of worship, or subject of worship, more correctly. And people used to worship them. As we know, in Mitzrayim, it was the sheep, it was anyone who would eat from a sheep was considered a heretic. And that's why Korban Pesach had such a confrontational aspect to it, as we discussed in the past. Goats, similarly, says Rambam, for the kastim, and the Rambam had access to many manuals and handbooks of Avodah Zorah in his time, the Tzava and others, and he read them, and he needed to know what we're up against. And the kastim, the Chaldeans, they similarly had this relationship with the goats, and they would worship goats. Gezuch, but that's how it was. And what about cows, says Rambam, interestingly, Va'ad hayom, be'eretz hodu. And even in our time, says Rambam, in the modern 1100s, when everyone was very much, moved past that, he still says, Rambam, you do the wrong thing by a cow, you will find yourself being escorted off the premises permanently. And therefore, what these three have in common is that they were looked upon as deities or representations of deities in those times. That's why the Torah says, Dafka, take these animals and slaughter them for the true deity. So it's interesting because as we move into the details of korbanos, it's not so much looking to as harmlessly or as seamlessly bring korbanos in. There is this aspect of negating wrong korbanos, which of course doesn't need to be said. There's no way that the Torah is going to give a hechsher to everything that used to be involved in Avodah Zarah just because it's difficult for us. There's chinuch here. As much as there is a concept of korbanos, but the korbanos have a message. These are korbanos, but they're not like the korbanos that used to be. In fact, the Rambam says that in those cultures, they used to dafka take wild animals and offer them as sacrifices to these more domesticated ones. But we take these ones that were looked upon as deities, and they're slaughtered, and they are the ones that are offered on the Mizbeach. And the Rambam uses an interesting expression. He says, if you want to get a message through, you have to be extreme. If you wish to assert a certain point, you need to go to the opposite extreme, which means if the message of the Torah is that these are not deities, you can't just ignore them. You have to take them and slaughter them. Which means the Rambam's fine position, or full position here, is actually quite complex. Because there is korbanos generally, and there the Rambam dafka takes the position of you can't be extreme, you can't go from one extreme to the other, because the pure extreme would be no korbanos. So in terms of the general framework, it's very much moderated. But within the specifics of korbanos, how they work, it is actually very extreme. And you do the opposite, and you kill them, and you slaughter them, and you offer them. And this is true for the Rambam for many of the halachas of korbanos. We will read in this week's parsha that there's an iser to have a chometz on the mizbeach. There was almost no chometz. It's very interesting to consider that the Beis HaMikdash was basically kosher Pesach all year round. Anyone who brought chometz in, they would react to him like we do on Pesach. And also there can be, the pasuk says, Kichos Seor, yeast, V'chol Devash, Hani lo sakrivu mimenu ishel Hashem. There could be none of that on the Mizbeach. It's a lo sase. Why? Says Rambam, based on his findings, for the other types of culture, lahavdil ben kodesh lachol, worse than chol, the other types of cultures, they would make a point of having leavened bread in their karbonos, and they would bring as much as they make them as sweet as possible, and therefore the Torah is negating that. Lo sakrivu mimenu ishel Hashem. The converse, says Rambam, is that there's something that the Torah says has to be with every korban. Salt, I'll call korban chatakriv melach. That remains a minag for us until today. We dip bread into salt. It's a zecher for the mizbeach. The shulchan is like a mizbeach. Why? Says Rambam, because they would make sure there was no salt anywhere near the premises. Why? Don't know. And therefore, keneged that, the Torah says, I'll call korban chatakriv melach. And therefore, if we could summarize the Rambam's position, as we've stated already a couple of times, the Jewish people, they have korbanos in their religious consciousness. It will not be eradicated anytime soon, and therefore the Torah brings it in. But within the korbanos, there's a great deal of negation of everything that's not kosher about korbanos. Now, the Rambam himself then raises a question, and it's very important beyond the scope of korbanos. It's about the concept of tameh mitzvahs generally. Says Rambam, I've given you a reason for korbanos, and I'm telling you now, it will not explain everything about korbanos. Of that you can be sure. Because there are many, many parshas devoted to korbanos. There are many details, many and varied. And it's so specific. Every korban has where should it be shechted, and where should the blood be sprinkled, and how many matanos should there be, and who should eat from the korban, or maybe no one, and what happens to the leftover blood, and which of the parts of the offering are brought in the mizbeach, and it differs from korban to korban. And says Rambam, you appreciate that the reason that I have offered will not help explain these details. If I'm saying generally that people were used to korbanos, and that's why the Torah has korbanos. But that doesn't explain why the Torah says that an ola has to be on the lower part of the mizbeach, and specifically in the corners, and the chatas has to be on the upper part of the mizbeach, on all four corners, and there are some which are brought inside the mishkan, and some in the courtyard, and who eats what. And the Rambam says this is true for all tamei mitzvahs. And it is true, lechura, that whatever reason you give generally, it can never account for the totality of the mitzvah. And the Rambam says if a person tries to inject the general mitzvah into the details, halo yishtageya shigaon gamor, he will drive himself insane because he's undertaken something that's impossible. So the Rambam has said, don't ask me to do that. I'm not going to do that. It can't be done. But here is my general comment. Now, already here, it's important to emphasize that this is not the subtotal of the Rambam's words on the subject of korbanos. Far from it. And the reason why it's so important is because there are many people who stop here. In other words, they've seen the Rambam, or they've spoken to someone who's seen the Rambam, and it's all very clear. It's a response to, they were used to korbanos. And in a sense, if one carries the logic forward, one reaches a conclusion, or one may reach a conclusion. And that is that, as far as the Rambam is concerned, korbanos are, quote-unquote, a response to a bidyeved situation, which means in an ideal situation there would be no korbanos, which means in the future, when things will reach their ideal and people will be relieved of any such primitive notions or foreign ideas, there'll be no need for korbanos. And there are some people who maintain, I think they're serious, that this is the position of the Rambam. This is not the position of the Rambam. In fact, we know that because the Rambam himself says explicitly that there will be korbanos in the future. But depending on the scholar, that may or may not make a difference. Once the theory is there, no one can be allowed to get in the way of their understanding of the Rambam's position, including the Rambam himself. We find, for example, that the Rambam mentions Korbanos, he codifies Korbanos, leaving aside from the fact that the mere space that the Rambam devotes to Korbanos, it's over 10% of the entire Mishnah Torah is Korbanos. Of the 14 volumes of Yad HaChazaka, two of them are devoted to Korbanos. There's a Sefer Avodah and a Sefer Korbanos. That's a lot. But aside from the halachic aspect, the Rambam has codified every single Korban as the mitzvah of Taryag. That's very important, because the Rambam himself, in his Shoroshim, those are his 14 introductory criteria for what is a mitzvah of Taryag, the 14 Shoroshim at the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs, there are 14 things that would stop something from being considered a mitzvah of Taryag. And one of them, says Rambam, is that if a mitzvah was only for a certain time, but will not persist in the long term, it's not a mitzvah of Taryag. That's why there's many... they got a directive as to how to eat the man. You got to collect every day, and then twice, and then, but not on Shabbos. But it's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's not one of the Taryag mitzvahs because it was for a certain time, but it's not for long term. It's not a permanent mitzvah. Therefore, if the Rambam understood that korbanos only existed until people don't need them anymore, they wouldn't be mitzvahs in Taryag, which of course they are, by the Rambam's own codification. Moreover, thus far, it's by force of Rambam's method. But to hear the Rambam's words themselves, and this is towards the end of the Mishnah Torah, the final two chapters of Mishnah Torah, which are Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, deal with Rambam's discussion of Yemos HaMashiach and the future. And Rambam says, this is Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Melachim. HaMelech HaMashiach, Asid la'amod, in the future he will stand, rise up, ulahachzu malchus David liyoshna lememshala harishona. He will restore the kingdom of David to its original sovereignty. Ubona hamigdash, he'll build the base hamigdash. Umekabet nincha Yisrael, gather in the dispersed of Yisrael. V'chozun kol ha-mishpatim biyamav, kishahayu mikodem. Everything will come back in his day the way they originally were. Makrivim korbanos. There will be korbanos, vozim shmitin, v'yovlos, kechol mitzvasa, ha'amura v'torah. Rambam has spoken black on white. In the future, he has made a point of describing Yemos HaMashiach as makrivim korbanos. Moreover, of course, the Rambam is well aware that we have a Sidur HaTfilah, and in Shmona Esrei Brachos, which were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, we daven for the restoration of the Seder HaAvoda, Hashem Ves Avoda, Dvar Beisecha, the Ishe Yisrael, the fire offerings, those are the Korbanos. And the Rambam's Nusach in the Sidur HaTfilah is attached to his Sefer Ava. He davened for the Korbanos to come back as surely as everybody else did. But aside from all of this, the Rambam elsewhere in the Mishnah Torah, that's in Sefer Avodah, in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah. So the Rambam often, it's very interesting, as he finishes a Sefer, he will normally conclude with words actually of Musar, or of outlook. Having discussed the halachas, and there's 1,000 chapters of halachas in the Mishnah Torah, but at the end of each Sefer, there's a moment of Musar. In the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, the Rambam discusses how a person should relate to mitzvahs that he doesn't understand. Which is interesting, because the Rambam doesn't normally discuss that. In Moreh Nevuchim, you're not allowed not to understand. It's against the rules. But there is a concept called chukim, and the Rambam talks about them. And he says when a person confronts a mitzvah that he doesn't understand, he should surrender his das, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the universe, knows a little bit more about how the universe should run than he does, and that's when he should have a bit of humility and pray for inspiration. Those are the words of the Rambam. And he enumerates examples of chukim. And within the course of his comments, he says, V'chol ha-korbonos kulam michlal ha-chukim heim. All korbanos are really chukim. We don't know why there's korbanos. Which is very interesting. The Rambam has a short list of chukim, but he puts korbanos on the chukim. Now, if that's the case, we need to consider essentially the broader picture of the Rambam, because he's spoken about korbanos in the Moreh Nevuchim and in the Mishnah Torah. In the Moreh Nevuchim, he's given a reason for korbanos in the Mishnah Torah. He stated explicitly that there will be korbanos in the future, and we're praying for their restoration, and stated generally about korbanos that we don't really know what it's about. But then how can he talk about it in the Moed Avuchim if you don't know? But this leads us to a certain degree of context that we need to understand the background to the Moed Avuchim. The Moed Avuchim was the last sefer, but it's a very one needs to exercise caution when discussing this. The Moed Avuchim was the last of the Sfarim written by the Rambam, and it is the only sefer that the Rambam himself did not set out to write. That is to say, the Rambam first, when he was younger, he wrote his Pirush on the Mishnayos. Later on, he wrote over the course of 10 years the Mishnah Torah. And as far as the Rambam is concerned, his pen may rest at that stage. Except, he was sent a call for help by one of his Talmidim who lived in Bavel at that time. His name is Rav Yosef Ibn Aknin. And his Talmud of Yosef said, you need to write another sefer, because Jews, wherever we live, we can't account for our religion. We can't discuss it, we can't express it, and we're intimidated and overwhelmed by basically Christians and Muslims, both of which who have some type of systematic presentation of their religions. And when they ask us, and so why did Jews do this, we routinely say we don't know. And people are foundering. In response to that, the Rambam wrote the Moed Avuchim and gave them plenty to say on any given topic within Judaism. Now, because that's true, and in a sense it makes a big difference that what we're about to say is not the speculation of 20th century or 21st century. This was already said by one of the great Rishonim, the Ritva. The Ritva, Rabbi Yom Tov of Seville, who was a Talmud of the Rashba, he writes an entire Sefer called Sefer HaZikaron, which is devoted to responding to the Ramban's attacks and critiques on the Rambam's Moed Avuchim. Ramban, in many places, quotes the Moed Avuchim and raises serious questions on it. In fact, in many circles, people only know the Moed Avuchim as well as they do because they know the Ramban. And therefore, the Ramban has quoted the Moed Avuchim in full, and that's their education about with regards to the Moed Avuchim. And Ramban takes issue with the Moed Avuchim in many occasions. And the Ritva, who actually is from the Beis HaMedrash of the Ramban, but he took it upon himself to present some type of defense and explanation of the Rambam's Moed Avuchim. But what he says on a number of occasions is, you need to understand, what are you expecting to find in the Moed Avuchim? What is the successful resolution? If you think that the Moed Avuchim is going to concur with every statement that every other statement that everybody else said, so then that's an unrealistic expectation, because the Rambam was specifically petitioned by people who had nothing to say. Give us something to say. We need a rational presentation of Torah and of mitzvahs, and the Rambam provided that, and it is the truth, and that's the hallmark of the Moed Avuchim. Whatever he says is reasonable, which means, says the Ritva, in essence, the only ultimately well-founded criticism of the Rambam if it doesn't make sense, or if it's absolutely contradicted flat out by a pasuk or something like that. But as long as it's cogent, and as long as it's reasonable, and as long as it doesn't sound objectionable per se, so then that's the Rambam's job. That's what he was asked to do, and that's what he did. And that's why you'll find that the Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah doesn't even say what he'll say in the Moed Avuchim. Because the Mishnah Torah, if you're not putting the Rambam in that extended position, give us a rational explanation for the mitzvahs. We're not allowed to say we don't know. Do not mention the word chukim in your discussion, because we have to say something. So the Rambam says, if you have to say something, say this. But in the Mishnah Torah, no one's asking the Rambam to say anything. So the Rambam says, korbanos chukim. Are they going to exist in the future? Of course, we're praying for them. What if people who learned the Mishnah Torah, the Moed Avuchim, then became enamored with the Rambam and set about learning the Mishnah Torah? Okay, we should only have such problems. When they do, we'll work it out. But that's what the Ritva says. But it's important to take those words advisedly, because the Ritva is not saying, don't pay attention to what the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim. He didn't mean it. That's not what the Ritva is saying. The Ritva is, of course, on the contrary, you see the Rishonim take every word of the Rambam, including the Moreh Nevuchim, very seriously. But you need to take it against that background. So this is with response to people who they prefer the theory of the Rambam to the Rambam himself. I was once had the pleasure of having a conversation with one such person, and he gave me his most patronizing smile as he told me that everybody knows that the korbanos, it's only to wean them off idol worship, which means obviously there won't be any sacrifices in the future. Isn't that correct? So he's looking for me to defend the faith. So instead of playing the primitive defender, I smiled back and I said, well, I guess we'll see. And that's when he stopped smiling, because he liked the idea of conjecturing what it would be like in the future much more. It was much more appealing to him than the idea of actually finding out. Okay. But in any case, so who now critiques the Rambam is Ramban. This is in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes of Chumash Vayikra. And the Ramban has serious questions against the Rambam. Firstly, says Ramban, according to Rambam, there doesn't seem to be anything intrinsically positive about korbanos. They seem to be somehow sanitizing or sterilizing something that the Jewish people couldn't do without. It says, Ramban, but look at the Pasuk, and the Pasuk doesn't really seem to be talking that way. The Pasuk routinely refers to the korbanos as korbani, lachmi, which is a phrase that certainly will need to be understood, but lachmi, Hashem says, my bread, reach, nichoach, a pleasing aroma. These are very positive descriptions. They don't seem to fit something that at best would be a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, a levi that it didn't exist. That's number one. The Torah itself seems to be looking much more favorably on korbanos than the Rambam would have us understand. Secondly, says Ramban, we find korbanos in the Torah long before these pagan cultures came on the scene, after all. When Noah comes out of the Teva, it's just him. And the first thing he does, and Noah told him to do this, the first thing he does is he offers a korban to Hashem. And moreover, if you read the Pasuk says, he offered korbanos, Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoach, that Hashem was pleased with the korban and said, that's it, I will never bring a mabul again. That means that the korban, which was on the initiative of Noah, had the effect of bringing about this very positive response, so to speak, from Hashem. That doesn't seem to fit with making the word, you know, making the best of a cultural mistake. Seems to be a very positive thing. And moreover, and this is a very difficult question to answer, Hevel, Cain and Hevel brought korbanos. There can't be a culture there. I mean, they're the first people ever to exist. And the only insistent was the korban brought in the right way. Cain brought a very shvacha korban, that's why Hashem wasn't happy with it. But Hevel, who did? The Pasuk says, Vayisha Hashem, El Hevel ve'el minchaso, Hashem turned to him, meaning favorably. Hevel, that means that there was positive value with the korban. Those are questions of Ramban. It sounds like there is positive value to a korban. Another question, which is asked by other mefarshim, which is also an important question, is that we see that the Torah is exceedingly stringent with regards to the halachas of korbanos. If a person brings a korban and violates some of the halachas of a korban, he can be liable to penalties that many other averus don't have those penalties. If a person eats of the meat of a korban that's meant to be eaten in one day and he eats it the next day, that's called nosar. He's chayv kares. But why should it make a difference? And if he intended to sprinkle the blood tomorrow instead of today, and someone eats from that korban, the chayv kares. I mean, that's very, very severe. But these are details for something that the entire thing is only there just to appease the Jewish people, so to speak, or allow them to adapt. Why should the penalties be so severe? So, having responded very stridently and forcefully to the Rambam's approach, the Ramban offers the approach that he considers to be more correct. The Korov Lishmoa, what seems to be more acceptable, says Ramban, is another idea. And this is actually the idea of the Ibn Ezra, and that is that the process of bringing a Korban is meant to be representative of the person himself. As a person, if a person does something wrong, so a person could can do an aveira either with his mind or with his mouth or with his hands, and therefore the process of a korban has all of this. He says vidui with his mouth, he does smicha with his hands, and the thought should be lereach nichoach, and with that, he's looking to make amends for his aveira, and moreover, the rather traumatic, really, experience of having this animal killed, and he knows that this should be him, a person who defies Hashem's word. That's a word cause. That is a major experience for a person, and it's a positive experience, and that's why it's looked upon so positively. This is the approach that the Rambam favors much more. The person, nefesh tachas nefesh, it's a kind of a kofer nefesh. Even though, as Meforshim point out, this would only seem to account for korbanos that are sin-generated, like a chatas and an asham, a sin offering, a guilt offering. But there are other korbanos, shlomim and ola, which can be voluntary offerings. No one's done anything wrong. And the Ramban, at least in this explanation, doesn't seem to have addressed those which are purely voluntary in nature. So we have before us the famous explanation of the Rambam and the Menuchim. The Ramban favors a different explanation. We should know that as much as we've discussed at length how the Rambam may not be in accordance with the way you might see it in the Medrash or anywhere else, it happens to be that in this occasion the Rambam seems to be very much like the Medrash. The Medrash seems to say exactly what the Rambam says, which could change things a great deal. It's no longer lo ala Rambam teluna seichem ki im ala Medrash. It's divrei Chazal themselves. Where is this Medrash? It's in Parshas Acharemos, and it's in Vayikra Rabbah, Perek Kaf Beis, Siman Chet. And these are the words of the Medrash. There's a lot of discussion and debate about the correct girsa of the Medrash, and it could make a big difference, but we'll take what is the consensus version of the Medrash. Moshe Leben Melech. The Medrash gives a parable of a prince, Shegas Libo Alav. He was acting very inappropriately, he became very haughty. And he started to eat all sorts of things that one shouldn't eat. What are you going to do with him? Amar HaMelech, Zeh Yetadir Al Shulchani. You know what my response to this prince who's going astray and eating all sorts of things you shouldn't eat? He'll eat at my table every day. He's not going to eat those things. He'll eat at my table every day. Umeatzmahu gadur. And then he'll sort himself out. It's amazing chinuch. He's rehabilitating him. He's not chastising him or forbidding him. He's inviting him to his table every day. What's that got to do with us? What's the nimshal? Says the Medrash. Kach lefishah Yisrael lehutim acharei avodah zarah. You see, because the Jewish people, they were so invested in avodah zarah. It's unfortunate. It's part of the Pesach story that we don't normally focus on, but there was a lot of avodah zarah going on in Mitzrayim. And they would bring korbanos to all sorts of things they shouldn't be. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehu makrivim b'chol eis korbanoseim lefonai. Let them bring korbanos before me. Be'ol moed be'nitzol mi avodah zarah. That will save them from avodah zarah. Very interesting. That sounds like exactly what the Rambam said. They've been bringing a korbanos to the wrong address. The antidote is to bring it to the yes address. It's in order to rehabilitate them from avodah zarah. And the Abarbanel, in fact, quotes this Medrash. He sets out to defend the Rambam against the attack of the Ramban, and quotes this Medrash and says, you see, the Rambam, Eishav Motan, Eitan Moshevo, he has a very solid base in the Medrash. And so it seems. However, it's not so straightforward. According to many Meforshim, amongst them the classic Perush, Yefei Toar, Rav Shmuel Yaffa Ashkenazi explains that the Medrash doesn't mean that at all. And in order to understand why and how, he says, if you go back to the section of the Medrash immediately preceding that one, it has a very interesting discussion regarding the idea of basar tava. Basar tava, which is, if a person wants to eat meat, was it mutter for the Jewish people to eat meat in the midbar if it wasn't a korban? Let's go basar tava. Basar because they're Jewish and they want to eat fleshix. Is it mutter? And it's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Akiva says mutter. And Rabbi Yishmael says no. It was osur to eat meat during the time of the midbar. Kulan could only eat within the context of eating a korban. And the very next words of the Medrash are mashal, which is our mashal. In other words, says the Yafei Toar, the mashal is not to explain why they're korbanos. The Medrash isn't going near that question. The question the Medrash is addressing is, how come the Torah seemed to be going out of its way to make people bring as many korbanos as possible? If you want to eat meat, you've got to bring a korban. It's looking to keep them bringing korbanos. It's like a very intensive korbanos program. Why? Above and beyond the norm of korbanos. The answer to that is the mashal. They were so involved originally in bringing korbanos to Avodah Zarah, in order to disavow them of that and to allow them to recover from that, the Torah goes out of its way to have them bring as much korbanos as possible in the Mishkan. But that's only about why there was such a large amount of korbanos. But the basic idea of korbanos, says the Yafei Torah, if you see the context of the Medrash, it's not talking about that, it's not addressing that, and we don't know, and it's not what the Rambam is saying. So that's very interesting. This is the one Medrash which could be support for the Rambam, and still it depends on how you learn the Medrash. Now, we should note that as much as the Ramban, the way that we've expressed it so far, I hope we've been careful, is that the Rambam gives his explanation of weaning them from other types of korbanos. Ramban gave his explanation of this proxy representation, the korban represents the person, but the truth is, that's not entirely accurate, that's Ramban's explanation. He prefaced by saying, the korov lishmoa. I'd be more inclined to hear that explanation than the Rambam's. But the Ramban himself doesn't ultimately side with either explanation, because he then proceeds to say, the alderech ha'emes, which the Ramban often says, he discusses things through pshat to a certain degree, but then al derech ha'emes, which is the Ramban's way of referring to derech ha'kabbalah, yesh b'korbanos sod ne'elam. There is a hidden secret about korbanos. It's got nothing to do, not with what the Rambam said, and even not what I just said, quoting the Ibn Ezra. The real reason for korbanos is way beyond any of those things. And many mafarshim talk about what the Ramban means. Clearly, no one has the is prepared to state it black and white in detail, although it's found obviously in the works of Kabbalah, but the general approach is that somehow the technology, so to speak, of korbanos allows for the optimal existence and functioning of the world. It aligns it with higher worlds, it allows it to receive bracha from higher worlds, and in fact that's why, and the Rabban himself says, the word korban comes from the word karov. That means it brings us and the world closer to Hashem. And in fact, the Netziv in the HaMikdavar says that's why it's called lechem. I mean, lechem is bread. Well, what a thing to say. It sounds like the most objectionable thing you could possibly say. And the Torah says it the whole time. It's korbani, lachmi. How can it be? So the Netziv says that the goal of the role of lechem, the function of bread or food, is very interesting. Because it's a physical substance, but somehow it allows for the soul to remain attached to the body. It's a curiosity. Difficult to explain how, but the results are undeniable. Delete the food, and then the soul goes away. And that, according to the Ramah, that's what we mean when we finish the bracha of Asher Yatzar, which is about the miracle of bodily functions. We say, Rafecha Basar, Umaflila Asos, Hashem acts wondrously. What's the wonder? The wonder is, how can physical food feed the soul? We don't know that it feeds the soul, but it certainly, the effect is that the soul now remains attached to the body. Now, the Gemara in Brachas tells us, in the loosest of senses, Hashem's relationship to the world is analogous to the soul's relationship to the body. And therefore, the pasuk refers to korbanos as bread, because it has the effect that bread has to the soul, in the sense that it allows for Hashem to remain close to the body. That is to say, close to the world. That's the korban. And in fact, if we look at Rashi, we should see one Rashi. It is a Parshat Shavuah. So commenting on the words Reach Nichoach, which appear very frequently in Perik Aleph Pasuk Tes, it states, okay, the Perkir Baruch or Abichatz B'mayim, etc. Reach Nichoach Lashem. Reach Nichoach, we would translate as a pleasing aroma, which is certainly fair. And but Rashi says Nichoach is from the word Nachas Ruach. Nachas ruach lefonai, she'amarti v'naseh ritzoni. What's the reach nichoach? Hashem says, because I told you, and my will was fulfilled. Amarti v'naseh ritzoni. Now, what does that mean? Which will of Hashem was fulfilled? So on a simple level, it sounds like he told you to bring korbanos, and you did. So it's nachas ruach. Amarti v'naseh ritzoni. I told you to bring korban, and you did. However, Meforshim point out that if that's what it means, then every mitzvah should be called Reach Nichoach, because Hashem tells you to do 630 mitzvahs. And if you do it, Amarti v'nasar ritzoni and Reach Nichoach. But we only find it by korbanos. Moreover, it's interesting that as much as we explain that I told you to do this and you fulfilled my... korbanos are a mitzvah. Amarti means I said it, and ritzoni is my will. But mitzvahs are commands. And therefore, if it's about having fulfilled the mitzvah, Hashem should have said, or the phrase should have been, Tzivisi v'na'aseis mitzvasi. I commanded you, and the mitzvah was fulfilled. But he says, Amarti v'na'asa ritzoni. What does it mean? So I saw an explanation, interpretation in the writings of Rav Osher Weiss. I think it may be the definitive explanation of this Rashi. You see, when the Gemara in Maseches Zevachim and Daf Mem Vav explains the concept of Nichoach, it says, very similar to Rashi, Nachas Ruach Lashem, Leshem Misha Amar V'haya HaOlam, which of course is Hashem, but we refer to him as Lemisha Amar V'haya HaOlam. What that means is, says Rav Osher Weiss, that when we say that korbanos are nachas ruach, she'amarti v'nasa ritzoni, it's pleasing to Hashem because he said and his will was fulfilled. It's not about his will was fulfilled when you brought the korban. Hashem's will is that the world should exist in the optimum way. Amarti, lemi she'amar v'haya ha'olam. Amarti, I said the world should exist, but the level on which it exists, the state, depends on korbanos. Amarti, and you brought korbanos, v'nasaratani, and therefore my will was fulfilled, that the world exists in its optimum state. That's Reach Nichoach. That is a description of the effect of korbanos, even though, of course, exactly how it works, that's the Sod Ne'elam. But the effect of korbanos, it keeps Hashem close to the world, and keeps the world functioning in its optimum way. In fact, with this in mind, Rabbi Yeshua Heller, in his commentary, told us Yeshua to Pirkei Avos, directs our attention to two Mishnayos in the first parak of Pirkei Avos. They're almost identical, but of course, they're not. The beginning, we have the Mishnah, Shimon HaTzadik, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Amid, Torah Avodah Gminas Chasadim. So he gives us that these are the three things that the world stands on. Towards the end of the first parak, we find Rabbi Gamliel, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam, Ala Din, Ala Emes, Ala Shalom. So, firstly, of course, what's the difference between Ha'olam Omeid and Ha'olam Kayam? Is there a difference? If there's no difference, then how come he gave me a different set of three for the answer? I thought I heard the answer in the opening Mishnah. I thought it's Torah Avodah Gminas Hasadim, and you give me an entirely new program called Din Emes Ushalom. So, Yeshua Hello says we need to appreciate the first parak of Pirkei Avos spans hundreds of years. I mean, you have from Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, but moving into the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. So Shimon HaTzadik, who's in Mishnah Beis, right, Mishnah number 2, so he is in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. He's Mishyari Knesset HaGadolah. So he can talk about the three things that keep the world Omeid. Omeid means standing means standing strong. Because if you have all three of them, the world is omeid. They are Torah, Avodah, and Gminas Hasadim. Avodah there means Avodah HaKarbonos. He spoke about it because all those three existed in his time. But as you move on through the Zugos, generation after generation, and Shimon ben Shetach, and Yudah ben Tabai, etc., until you get to Shimon, or Rav Gamliel, Beno, Shel, Reb Yudah Anossi, that's in the post-Korban era. In the post-Korban era, there's no Karbonos. So you're not going to talk about the world being omade. The world is not omade. The world has a lot of problems. If you turn on the news, you'll hear all about them. There's a different question now. Do you give up? You don't give up. What keeps the world going? That's a separate question. On what is the world kayam? That's another thing. You need law and order just to tide you through until you get the avoda back, and then the world, you can stop talking about kayam and start talking about omade again. That's a wonderful explanation of those two mishnayos. And for us, an appreciation of what, at least a description, as we said, of what Karbonos are about. So we have before us two major approaches to Karbonos. You have the reason of the Rambam again, he's not going away, and the Mor Nevuchim, it has this aspect to it, to kind of, as a response to Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, you have the Ramban, it's the nature of the world, it's at its optimum when Karbonos do what they do. And there seems never the twain shall meet. Ad sheyavo ha-meshech chachma v'yachriya b'neihem. For hundreds of years, they are, each one is in his camp, until the meshech chachma, in a very amazing way, in his introduction to Chumash Vayikra, says, nirali l'achriya, I would be inclined to take a middle path. How is there a middle path? You see, there's two forums for a Karbonos. There is the central forum, that is to say the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan in its time, and then the concept called Bomos. And Bomos were more private altars, which at certain times were allowed. When there's no Mishkan, before there was the Beis HaMikdash, Bomos were allowed. It seems to me, says Meshech Chochma, that the effect that the Ramban is talking about, which allows the world to achieve its optimum state and all the kochos of the world, lower and higher, to be aligned and everything that is the Sod Ne'elam, that's the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. That's Shara Shamayim. That effect is achieved there. What about Bomos? That's not happening in a Boma. But what is happening in Boma, for each person, if he feels he needs to bring a Korban, so then the Torah lets him bring a Korban, because maybe he needs. And that's really what the Rambam is talking about. People, for those that couldn't relate to Avodah Zarah without a Korban. And it's no coincidence, says Meshech Chochma, that after the Korban of the second Beis HaMikdash, there's no Bomos anymore. Because the Gemara tells us that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah destroyed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. By and large, it's been eradicated from the world. So you don't need that aspect of Korbanos anymore, represented by Bomos. So Bomos are forbidden now. There is only the Beis HaMikdash, or nothing. And Meshech Chochma says, it seems to me that this, what I have just said, is explicit in the Mishnah. If you're Meshech Chochma, you'll see it in the Mishnah. In Maseches Zvachim, the Kuf Yud Gimel discusses differences between Bomos, private altars, and Beis HaMikdash. And one of the things it says is that for a Korban, there's many halachic differences, but the Mishnah says within a Boma, there's no Reach Nichoa. There's no Reach Nichoa. Now it sounds like it's not pleasing to Hashem, a Boma, but it's there anyway. But what does that mean specifically? It means what we're saying. Reach Nichoach is about the description of this effect. Amarti v'nasa ritzoni. The world is now a better place. The Shekhinah is closer to the world. Says the Mishnah, Bomas don't have that. But if they don't have that, then what are they there for? For the Rambam's reason. And that's it. And he concludes with what? Sar HaTorah. Meshech Chochma is Sar HaTorah. If it's he made Shalom, so to speak, or found the middle ground between the Rambam and Ramban, traced it back to an open Mishnah, and from there proceeds to the Perikim Tehillim. Tehillim Perik Nun Aleph, towards the end, where David HaMelech says, Ki lo tachbot zevach ve'eteina. David is talking to Hashem. Lo tachbot zevach ve'eteina. You don't want a zevach that I should give it. Ola lo tirtze. You don't want a burnt offering. And then he goes on to say, Heitiva v'etzoncha es tzion. Tivne Chomus Yerushalayim, but rebuild, of course there's many layers of Ruach HaKodesh here, rebuild the Chomus Yerushalayim, and in the final pasuk, Oz Tachbot Zevach, Zivchei Tzedek, Ola V'Chalil. Then you will desire Zivchei Tzedek. So Meshech Chochma says, because before Yerushalayim has been rebuilt, it's Bomos. Can you bring a korban on a bomb? You can, but lo tachbot zebach ve'etena. If you bring a korban, Hashem doesn't desire it. It's not something that it has that effect. It's not the reach nichoah. But once Yerushalayim is rebuilt, then oz tachbot zebach tzedek. Then the chifetz will return because that's amarti benasa ritzoni. So these are some of the highlights of this very. It's not a light discussion, but it's an important discussion, and I believe at the very least we've given the framework for it. And plenty to think about, and the Meretz Hashem, we should find out the Meir of Yemen.